You and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'd like to use the reading out of 1 Timothy chapter 1 as the text and just emphasize verse 15. The saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Everybody has that one story, the one you never tell anyone. We don't mind if somebody has an old story that makes fun of us, and we don't even mind the ones that make us sad or even make us cry. The story we never want to tell is the one that embarrasses us, the one that even causes us to feel shame. Paul had that kind of story, and of all the stories he had, and he had a lifetime filled with stories, that's the one he told the most. I don't think he told it to be bragging. I don't think he was proud of what he was. He wasn't complaining. He marveled when he told the story. If you have a story like that, you know, one that you never tell anyone, even if you don't tell anyone, you think about it sometimes and you remember what happened or what you did or who you are, and it humbles you. And if you're honest, sometimes even years later, it makes you feel ashamed of yourself. Paul spends a paragraph before our text naming off a list of sins. And then in our text, he says he is the foremost sinner of all, puts himself above all of them. And then, rather than feel misery and shame, he breaks into praise for God. How could you get to be that way? How could you go to that place to see where you would be without Jesus and then go in glory? If you come from the dark and you acknowledge that, how do you dwell where it's always light? Jesus came into the world to save sinners, promised to come again to judge sinners. Are you okay with that? You okay with Him coming back again to judge sinners? Is there a way to be comfortable with that? Is there a way to see the wonder of being you? Well, Paul is a cheerleader for just that kind of feeling. So let's see if we can find a place where Paul seemed to live. First of all, you must be honest about your sins. If God is choosing only the pretty people, then you and I won't make the list, because He looks at the in-depth view of us. He reads our hearts. He reads our minds. He knows our thoughts. I saw the Phelps family making Topeka proud at the Country Music Academy Awards, I believe, and they confronted Vince Gill. Did any of you see that going on? They confronted Vince Gill, and I thought, you know, what sin are they going to accuse him of? And it turns out Vince Gill is married to Amy Grant, two fairly nice people, and they said, "You are divorced, and you're a bad person, and you're going to hell." And it occurred to me that Phelps have really, they've struck an interesting thing there, because they will always be successful when they accuse someone of wrong, because everybody's done something wrong. They can go to anybody. I thought they just had one sin going, but if they're going to use all of them, there's always something each of us has done that we can be accused of and feel embarrassed about. Bessie was telling me that at a class she went to, they played a song from Leonard Cohen. He's a singer, I think, from the 60s. If he's some weird Satanist, I don't know who he is, so I'm not quoting him, but I'm not supporting him, but he had a very interesting song called Anthem, and here's the first part of it. "Ring the bells that still can ring. Forget your perfect offering. There is a crack. A crack in everything. That's how the light gets in." And it appealed to me that that's a great description of everything that we have. We know, even if we deny that some of the things we did were sins, and even if we do our favorite thing, which is blame somebody else, we know what we have done, and we know where we have been, and we know that we are deeply and desperately in need of rescue. It takes an honest person to admit to all that, to own up to sin. It must be a stark kind of honesty that actually claims the title of foremost sinner. When you start down that dark road, it's a dangerous trip, because you can get lost down there. If in the worst times of your life, you start evaluating where you are, you can feel crushed by God. If God calls you out and calls you a sinner, it has to be devastating. Paul was blinded and bewildered. God had made it clear that his whole life had been a war with God. And he found out that everything he was famous for was wrong. He was a picture of how the Bible describes failure. He had built his house on sand. He had sown the wind. Now he was expecting the whirlwind. He was looking for destruction in his life. For 3 days he sat in the darkness. 3 days, did not eat and did not drink. 3 days of not eating would probably be good for most of us. 3 days of drinking is dangerous. 3 days without water and you are at the edge of this life. He sat there expecting God to come back and finish the job. He had struck him with blindness. He had cast him into this dark world. He was expecting God, I'm sure, to come back and finish the job. God came back and he gathered him into the family through baptism. And Paul would always remember what he had done and those dark days and that failure. But now he just was filled with wonder. God came back and God gathered him into the family. It might be that you're in a different part of the journey, and maybe you're even stuck in that dark place where it feels like you're just a failure, where you have pain and you have loss and you feel sinful. If you take stock of your life from that place, you will be pushed to despair, because when you were in the dark, you are lost. Paul would tell you that's why Jesus came. If it was an easy job, some good individual could have done it, an angel could have done it. It required God to do it. It's what makes the Christian religion different from every other religion. In our religion, God is the one that suffered. God is the one that died. The Gospel of John described Jesus as a light that shines in the darkness. And even if we can't understand how God could do that, could give his life to save me, we understand that light and darkness business. We know. How it feels to be walking around in the dark and not knowing where you're going and bumping into things. And we know when it's a beautiful summer day and the clouds are white and the sky is blue and you feel the warmth of the sun, you know how nice that feels. Paul would simply say, wouldn't you rather live in the sunshine? It is worthy of full acceptance that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. It's what he did. The dark is a bad place. We do not want to be there. Now that road, here's the gift. That road is now in your past. It's your history. It's the story of where you used to be. Jesus Christ gives you the gift that removes every sin. Paul wasn't that man anymore. Jesus found him, did not pronounce judgment. The Son of God should have said, this is what you did, Paul. These are capital offenses. Now you're going to die. I think that's what Paul was expecting God to do, punish him. I finished the book by Paul Meyer called Pontius Pilate. It's sort of a fictional book based on history, and it's rather interesting. And in the book, he has Pontius Pilate having a conversation with Cornelius the centurion, who had become a Christian. And he explained the whole thing about what Jesus did. And then he said, you know, Jesus is the Son of God. God gave his life there. And Pilate said, okay, now I know that you're wrong. He said, I killed that man. If I killed the Son of God, God would smite me down. That was his argument back. And it makes sense. Paul expected that. Instead, God promoted Paul to be an apostle. And Paul just never quite recovered from that moment of joy. There he was in misery, knowing he was a failure, even the worst failure of all time, an enemy of God. And God didn't just say, okay, I'll let you live. He said, I will make you an apostle, one of the highest levels in the Christian church. Paul had always been a traveling man. It would remain. He would cover a lot of ground, but now it was a different kind of journey. To the casual observer, it would look like most of the time Paul was running for his life. The Romans wanted to kill him. The Jews wanted to kill him. Sometimes it looked like nature wanted to kill him. His life appeared to be threatened over and over again. If you would have said, what are you doing? He would have said he wasn't running for his life. He would have told you he was running for the joy of it. That is the road that calls to you. Through shipwrecks and through false trials, through physical ailments and jealous acquaintances, if you follow the way of Paul, you run for the joy of it. You run for the joy. I had someone send me on the internet an account of a little girl, 13 years old, named Ryan Page, who sang on X Factor. Any of you see it? I sometimes feel like I'm living like a parallel universe, but There is a show where Simon Cowell is on, and it's called The X Factor, and people sing there, okay? I don't make this stuff up. 13 years old, pretty girl. Simon Cowell said, "What is special about you?" And she said, "I was born with a birth defect," and then the camera backed up, and her hands were bent. Like, she couldn't use them at all. "My hands are bent inward, and I can't use them." She said, "I'm blind in my right eye." He said, "What do you want to do?" She said, "All of my life, I've loved to sing." It's just amazing to me. There's a picture of her as a little child. She's cradling the microphone in her bare feet and holding it up there, and she's singing as a little child. Here's a little girl. If you're 13 years old and you have that defect, you would think, "Why did God do this to me and separate me from all the people?" Surely you would want to complain. Or why don't I get to go do things the way the rest of the kids get to do? Here's a little girl with every reason to complain, and her passion was to sing. Paul knew that he shared a problem with everybody. He was a sinner, and even though he claimed the title of being the foremost sinner, he knew it was a real close contest between you and me and him. The gift from Jesus Christ made him an apostle, It filled his heart with a song, and he just never stopped singing. This is what you can be. Your sin has been taken on by Jesus. It is not under your name anymore. Forgiveness, not punishment, is what he offers you. It is a reason to sing. Paul would say, so sing. God grant it in Jesus' name. Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all of our understanding, guard this treasure we have in Jesus. Amen. At this time, we will receive our offering.